in?
But it's not that scene. It's
okay. Well, then no, I haven't seen the video.
So the official music video for Lionel Richie's Hello is the creepiest fucking thing you've ever seen in your life. He's a high school teacher. And he falls in love with a blind student.
And he's able to perfectly make a clay bust of
no,
her.
No, she does.
No, she makes
a clay
blind.
Bust right, of right. his face. And he follows her around singing this song behind her, but she's blind, so she doesn't know that he's there. It's the creepiest.
So
it's super creep. It's creep. Like, she's like, you know, just doing her thing at school. And then you're like, oh, and he's the teacher. And oh, no, he likes her.
Why couldn't he just be dead? And then she could, like, well, like, it's so much creepier when, like, she, like, you know, she can't see because you're dead, and that's one thing, but it's like she just
no,
actually
she's,
can't
she's,
see
she has,
you.
She's differently abled, like, and the fucker's taking advantage of it yeah. by being like, this is the easiest stalking of my life. I'd never like, mind that she's a teenager, so it's not okay.
Your first guess was that it was from Ghost. And then it makes sense that he maybe should have been a ghost.
He should have been a ghost.
That's good.
Because that would have been more acceptable than stalking a blind woman as her
that
teacher.
That also has felt his face enough to make a perfect clay.
Yeah, that she makes it. No, it's not perfect. That's the thing. It's hideous.
It's,
like,
it's like... Like it's what?
Really
it's like
ugly.
1.5 times bigger than his actual head.
It's,
yes,
yeah,
it's pretty.
Yes, it's like 1.5 times bigger than his actual head. It's really doesn't look like.
Wait, so is it not in Ghost at all?
No, well, I don't know if it's not in the whole movie, but it's not in the clay scene. But it's really funny too that you knew clay because there's clay in the music video too.
Huh.
That's really weird.
You intrinsically knew what it was.
Yeah, you just were confusing one clay, creepy clay scene yeah. with another creepy
An unrequited
clay
love
scene.
For a blind student, and he is her theater and acting teacher.
It's not good. It's really upsetting.
You can't use that word, like, with
Wait, they
the
weren't,
teachers, too.
Both of them
love.
Weren't teachers? He was her teacher?
She was a student. She was, like, a teenager in high school.
He discovers she shares the feelings... as demonstrated by the discovery that she is sculpting a likeness of his head.
She just happens to be? Oh, my God.
Yeah, because that's not possible. She would have had to feel his face at least a few times to make that.
Well, I think it shows her. Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Too Many Movies. Your favorite low-talent, full-bodied...
Light-talent.
Cleavage queens.
Movie podcast. Volume 4, Episode 1. Volume 4. We're getting even more obscure.
An Italian thrill ride.
An Italian melodramatic thrill ride, yes. We are, for this volume, we're doing the actress Anna Magnani. The movies that we're doing, Episode 1, this episode, we're doing L'Amore, 1948, Bellissima, 1951. Episode 2 is The Golden Coach from 1952 and The Rose Tattoo from 1955. Episode 3 will be Open City, 1945, and Mama Roma for 1962, followed by the fourth episode, which is just the general movie talk and wrap up. I didn't formally introduce you, Alan. As was kind of the idea for the during the genesis of this podcast, to kind of have a rotating cast of friends that I know enjoy movies as much as I do. And for this volume, we're going to have my friend Ellen here. So what are some initial thoughts from these black and white Italian movies?
I really like her. I can see why she was famous.
Very,
she's
very intense.
Exhausting.
That's
she
a great
looks,
word.
I like. She's exhausting to watch because she is never stops talking, and she seems like she should just fall over and pass out the minute she's done acting because it's like intense, nonstop talking in all of it. And I think that it was a little hard at first. Like the first one, I went. Did we all watch Bellissima first?
No.
Okay. I watched Bellissima first, and that was my very first impression of her, and it was just talking, and I just kept going, oh my God, is the whole movie like this?
Yes.
Yes, it is. And it was like, I can't even imagine how she was able to do that. It's interesting that you guys didn't start with that, because I feel like the other ones, no one talks very much but her. And then at least in Bellissima, there's like her husband and other actors.
Yeah, in Amore, split up into two, I guess, short films. And they're essentially just showcases for her. The first one is only her. She's talking on the phone. And the second one is her walking around and getting immaculately concepted.
No.
I guess. One would hope.
I'm going to call it date rape, but yeah. Go ahead.
It's like feeding her wine.
Yeah,
and then
by the silent like, wine hilltop man. And then she's like, it's an immaculate conception. Honey, you woke up in a pile of goats drunk. That is not an immaculate conception.
You're actually eating moss at one point. I don't think it might not have just been wine.
Okay, so what are we starting with?
Whatever the flow is.
Choose something. I need to focus.
L'Amore works.
Okay, can I ask a question?
Bad man, archangel, Saint Joseph.
He was not Saint Joseph, and I think we all know that.
She could have sworn it.
Is it Fellini? I mean, in real life.
Yeah, it was him. He was not Saint Joseph. Saint Joey. No man. So weird, you know.
All Saint Joe.
So what? Can I ask a question? What to you was the connection between those two short films, if there was one? Because I'm assuming there was supposed to be one.
One, the first one is titled The Human Voice. The second one is The Miracle.
And then they have the title of Love for both, like overall. So what's that?
Well, she's in some sort of unrequited, very deep, hysteric love in the first one.
Yeah.
And the second one, where the first one might be real, at least to her, the second one is manufactured in a different way. She's
okay. I'm with you.
Maybe I almost think that she might be.
Maybe denial is a part of both of them. She's in denial the end of her relationship. She's in denial of the fact that she just got like wine raped on a mountain.
Was she possibly so caught up in her thinking that it was Saint Joseph that she wasn't actually pregnant? It doesn't show the kid at the end.
No, the baby cries.
It does cry. But, I mean, that could also be her, I don't know. I don't want to default to her losing it.
She may not have,
might not be fair, but
she may not have been pregnant. But, I mean, I'm just going with the assumption that she was.
It also happens very quickly, the entire process. So either.
They don't say how much time is passing, though.
And she's hiking around the mountains for a while.
I know. I love how she was like, oh, I can't do a little job for you, like doing your laundry, because that'll exert myself. Instead, I'm going to go climb a mountain pregnant. And then she like almost passes out when she gets to the top, and you're just like, so.
The setup for that scene was probably my favorite scene in the short, where it has her wake up on a literal mountainside and she's like slowly coming to her wits, and the goat herders are walking up. And it's just literally her laying back in moss and foliage.
Foliage.
Foley artist.
Yes. All of these characters are blending in together. Actually,
yeah.
Having a really hard time remembering the date rape one.
Different aspects. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about this on the way over here, in how. So last volume was Juliette Binoche, and that was a really good mix of fully foreign language films and English language, and a couple were mixed to where they were doing both at the same time. Going back to the 40s and 50s, where it's very formalist in a lot of ways, foreign language films, if you're not paying direct attention like the entire time, there's typically a lot to remember because they're so dialogue driven.
Well, especially these.
Yeah.
She never stops talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It totally makes sense to get. She looks exactly the same in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So getting them mixed up.
Not so much mixed up. I'm just seeing flashes of everything you're saying, and I can't remember the order.
Right.
And was it the Fellini one where she's talking about eggs a lot, or is that in Bellissima? No,
she's I don't.
That's Visconti. I think Fellini's in that.
Oh, okay. Well, regardless, what is are either of those the ones where she's talking about eggs a lot? Because I have that in notes, and I don't know when.
So the eggs thing I wouldn't say she talks about eggs a lot. I would say the
old egg sucking lady.
The lady comes in who's going to be the new acting coach for her daughter, and the lady's kind of weird, and she takes eggs out of the kitchen and starts sucking the insides out of them.
Okay, yeah, because I have in notes old world Italian shit drinking eggs ?
It is a little bit weird that they were just poking holes in eggs and drinking them.
Because that was where I stopped paying attention.
She was an actual egg sucker. Oh man.
I had to rewind it because I was like, wait, is that like something that's actually happening?
It's something she's done before. She's well versed in egg sucking. She almost as if she's shotgunning a beer, she pokes the top and then the back to make sure it all
comes out.
She's
like, every day I wander into someone else's kitchen and suck a few eggs.
And it cuts at her starting to suck the egg. And then when Magnani gets back in there, she's like, she drank three of my eggs.
Yeah.
And even the daughter.
And she's kind of impressed. She's like okay.
So but different movie.
That was Bellissima. Yeah, okay.
That's Bellissima.
Yeah, that was the full length one with the daughter, which was really good, I feel like.
Since we're on Bellissima, it settles down at different points, but there's so much going on with every person that she goes to and then berates. Essentially scolds them into doing what she wants them to do.
Well, she's acting. She pretends that she's so upset or distraught about something, and the minute she gets her way, she stops.
Oh yeah,
pretending.
She just, and that's almost the exact, wait, no, that's not the end of the movie.
I think
when does, is it after she gets her hair cut? There was a point where she's crying really hard with her and her, oh, it's when they fight for the first time, and he leaves.
Right, yeah. And then, all those women come in and they're like, oh, and she's like, I'm just trying to make a better life for my daughter. Don't let him take my daughter.
And then she gets her back.
The minute he leaves,
and right when
fine.
She leaves, she's like, hey, we're getting ready. We're ready for that audition tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
We're good to go. Let's do this.
Yeah, I felt like I didn't, I didn't think the first or the two short films were bad, but I didn't have as much of an emotional attachment to, or it's like I cared, you know, I feel for her. She's very, very upset in both ones, but I feel like the movie was more, like, even so, like, it was more, further than halfway through where I was like, okay, I feel kind of a connection.
For Bellissima or the...
Yeah, but okay. for the first two, it was just kind of like, oh, there's this woman and she's acting very well, but I also don't know how much I care about either of these.
The content of Bellissima, like an out of control mother who is not allowing her daughter to be a child, to just be a child. She's forcing her to do all these horrible things. Like, you see that all the time. And with her on the phone with this... you know, ex of hers who's getting married, like, I have some romantic problems. So that really applied to me. I've never been
the first
like,
one.
Yeah. But I've never been like a hallucinating, pregnant, religious, homeless lady who has vegetables thrown at her in the street. Like, that was hard for me to identify.
In one sentence, you described all three movies. Like, which is really good
because
there's so much going on.
And that was the part that made me the most mad in that movie was like when they're all like, oh, Mac, you're the immaculate baby. Just kidding. And then they threw a bunch of food at her. And then she wandered up a mountain.
So
and I was
wasteful.
Like, I don't understand. Yeah. why are they throwing all that food at her?
What are their lettuce reserves like to where they can just throw several heads of lettuce and... at a lady that's not even close enough to hit at that point. They're just throwing it on some dirty ass steps.
Is that the one where she steals the apples?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. She steals an apple and her like ex-boyfriend tries to get it from her.
Her junky
narc.
Street boyfriend.
Her junky,
yeah, narc,
spurned
exactly.
Lover.
Like,
yeah.
They're essentially University Avenue street rats.
You mean University Way? It's
Way.
Not an avenue.
The Ev.
Yeah, she steals the apple. And he gets very upset with her. And that essentially kickstarts her travels? Her deciding to...
Mountain travels?
Finding a better place for her and her perceived unborn child.
Well, I think there was something about Sin going on there because she steals the apple and then he asks for it and she won't give it to him. And then later she encounters him and he calls her a thief over and over again.
Is that an Adam and Eve
thing? It's an Adam and Eve thing. Mm. It's also when that lady's like, you need to confess. And she's like, oh, I'm all good with the Lord. I'm having like one of his babies or something. You know, like I think it was also that she does things occasionally, I guess, like steal and... You know, maybe things aren't all right. And you're sort of wondering, like, in her paranoid brain, like, where she is with God. You know, like, she's like, I'm fine. And she's not fine. Like, she was talking to in the beginning to that guy who is not a saint about how, like, the devil used to talk to her or something. Then she thought it was him, but it turned out it was the devil. You're like, oh, okay. So we have some issues. Like, we think the devil's talking to us. It's hard.
All of those things... as they came together, informed the thought that she might be hysterical in a different way. She's obviously lives on the street.
Yeah, but she says right away in the beginning, she says everybody talks about her like she's crazy.
Yeah. And she's,
so we know she tells us in the very beginning that she has a reputation for being like somehow with some mental illness.
And she's exactly. And she's up in the mountains with her goats doing various things. Picking things, collecting things, and
eating grass and moss.
She
off the ground.
She,
but sexy.
It was very sexy. Just the some random man walks up.
Some random man who won't speak. She drinks all his wine, touches her breasts, eats moss, calls him a saint, and then is like, "You're so handsome." And you're like, "This is all going in a place I don't like."
I read a kind of creepy review, of basically being like, I'd let him rape me, not that direct of wording. And all the comments were like, it's okay to think he's hot, but that situation's not okay.
Yeah.
And the person was replying. I'll send it to you guys. Like, I was like replying to all of them being like, you know, it's my decision how I want my sex life to be and blah, blah, blah. I was like, if that's all you took away from the movie, it's like, shouldn't be worried about it. He was hot.
No.
Yeah.
Not.
To the point where she actually passes out because of the alcohol that she's drinking. And
then she wakes up and is like, huh.
This doesn't seem or feel right.
No, and then she walks into town and starts asking everybody if they've ever seen saints.
So, and then
I've seen the Madonna.
The two priests can't agree on whether or not. One of them's just like, no, I've never seen, like, what are you talking about? That then, speaking on it and putting it together that way, it makes sense that she might have been sexually assaulted because she was so wrapped up in the St. Joseph thing. She was validating what happened to her then explain.
Well, later the nun or whatever was like, you need to go confess. And she meant it, I think, because she was like, you're pregnant and you are not married. You need to go confess. And she was like, oh, no, this is an immaculate baby. And the nun's like, I don't think you understand. No, it is not.
I don't know. They almost don't show enough to actually validate that she is pregnant. And maybe she just...
I feel like the nun said something that was validating. Okay. She said something like, you've done something.
Yeah.
Like, and it sort of is indicating that like...
But they're only also just going off of her anecdote, her story. And obviously they don't trust her or like her anyway. I don't, maybe she is justifying that experience saying that then she's pregnant.
How does that end again with her like nursing a crying sound?
Yes.
That's the end of it?
Doesn't show it at all.
Well, I don't think they could show it, which is what I said out loud to my television alone. I said, well, they're not going to show me the baby because it'd be all bloody and gross because she just gave birth to it in an empty room
on
by herself.
On her own, yeah. And also, you know, she has, you know, it's late 40s Italy.
Yeah, wasn't there like a big deal when that came out? Or I mean, not a big deal, but it like wasn't allowed to be released. Or I think there was some sort of controversy.
I would imagine.
I didn't read into it, but I did see something about how it was unable to be released for a little while because of some specifics. And that probably plays into it. The fact that she just barely off frame takes a tit out.
That's the only problem with the story.
You don't see the tit. I was yelling, off your baby.
Generally, the people that get most upset get most upset at the most benign you know, just a body thing as opposed to the crazy thematic implications.
Well, that's cultural too.
Full bodied women.
That changes in different places.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in some countries, a titty is okay.
A titty.
And it should be okay everywhere.
The first one, where she's on the phone for 80% of the 30-minute runtime, it's extremely
intense,
melodramatic, and intense. And she is good enough to not make it annoying.
I really liked that one, actually.
And
yeah, I like that one better than the Joseph one.
Yeah, and
Joseph.
I couldn't think of the right word.
Immaculate Deception.
Yes.
Saint Joey, as you said. Which
don't give him that. God.
The thing I liked most about that one, even though that she was really good, is the actual directing and the staging of that.
Her future husband?
Pretty much all of... Oh, really?
Yeah, or they might have been married, and he was really awful to her in real life. But anyways.
Oh, grist for the mill. No wonder it was so authentic.
Rossellini.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. No. All of these have... And I don't know if it's maybe because of camera limitations, like setup limitations, but more so than modern movies, as opposed to really long drawn out takes, they'll just set up a scene with multiple people in it, as opposed to like shot reverse shot of cutting back and forth to people, and let out like little 4 or 5 minute chunks play. So they're technically long takes, but it's for a full scene. And then they'll cut to a fully different scene.
Right.
As opposed to having like 20 cuts in a single scene of,
right,
say, Egg Lady.
And I could be wrong, but I feel like that is the difference between a movie in the 40s and a movie in the mid to late 50s. Is that like in the black and white era, like they didn't really do a lot of shot reverse shot until you got to more of like the Hitchcock black and white era.
Uh-huh.
And before that, it was... I just feel like before that, it was a lot of, you know, like the scene where she goes she takes her child to go get photographed.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like what you're talking about. It's like you can see the wife of the photographer in the background, the photographer running in and out of the room. Mm-hmm. The mom is there. This other mom is there. There's a little reverse shot with the mom and her other daughter. But most of it
he also uses, there's like two different ways that he uses mirrors to include people in that scene.
Yeah,
well.
Which is really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one, when she goes to the ballerina, the school,
God.
That's another one. The camera is moving.
That whole thing made me so mad.
As opposed
I was
to cutting.
So mad about that.
Well, it
that.
Actually cuts to her, the Maria, like being assisted by the dance teacher.
Ballet is kind of abusive sometimes. I know some people who still do ballet and it sounds awesome, but I remember doing that as a kid and every class someone was sobbing. I remember a girl started puking and she's like, Mom, I don't want to go back.
No, it has a reputation for being extremely strenuous. And that's the button of that scene of them just being like, you got to sweat. We're always sweating. That's the main idea behind this.
Oh, then when the lady shows how good of a dancer she is.
Yeah.
Very
everyone
weird.
Says, bravo.
And then she's like, back me up now.
No.
And then she backs her up. Tells her you got to sweat.
Yeah, I think that whole...
Get moist.
I really did like Bellissima. I think I would recommend it to somebody. I would just warn them that there's a lot of yelling and nonstop talking. So they should probably be like ready for that.
A lot of gesticulation.
I think just a lot of nonstop talking at a very loud volume.
A soft way to
everybody.
Say it's very Italian.
Yeah, it's very Italian. People like yell at each other and have a huge fight. And then at the end go, thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you for this. And you're just like, oh, so it always ends okay though, I guess. Like that wasn't a real fight. But like,
well,
I think
Visconti, this is one of the first movies in the Italian neorealism sort of thing. Like, not to sound what, but there's a word that I was described as, Joey described it. A pretentious asshole, there it is.
Oh, yeah. No, I think everything Joey calls you in relation to movies is not the kindest thing.
I thought you were talking about Saint Joey.
Saint Joey? Nah, that dude doesn't
like
me.
Well, he doesn't speak, so.
I know, that's where I was trying to remember
call
the
you
part
anything.
In the movie.
He'd just ply you with wine.
He got me really tipsy.
Then he called you a pretentious asshole. All the things.
The yelling and the arguments and then the makeup, right? The sort of we're in this together.
Well, it's like we sorted it out. okay, okay, we came to an agreement. Okay, okay, okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And there's always a lot of thank you, no, thank you, this is wonderful, thank you, I really appreciate it. And it's like, but just a second ago, you were screaming in his face.
And after the entirety of the movie, which is one long, I want to do what I want to do with my daughter, I'm going to go behind your back a lot of the time, it ends in their embrace together in a sort of the whole situation being absolved in some way, to where she has now dismissed the idea of her daughter being an actress, and now she's fine with just getting by and doing what her husband wants to do. That's what I was going to ask y'all, was what you think the implication for the ending of that movie was. Because there are times where movies wrap up with someone foregoing kind of what the entire movie was about. But is this saying, because it throughout the movie it shows that she is very aware, because as you said, she's acting a lot of the time to get what she wants.
Mm-hmm. And she's manipulative.
She's manipulative, but she's also
desperate,
but also very intelligent, because like the scene on the riverbank with her and the low-level producer guy, where he comes on to her and then she fully
fully
rebuffs him. And
she
like,
does that repeatedly.
I'm just going to do this the way I want to do it. She's very strong-willed and strong as a person, but is also being very manipulative at the same time. So is her foregoing the whole extreme stage mother stuff supposed to be like a redemptive thing, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, I mean, while I don't condone like, you know, spousal abuse ever, I can see why he's mad at her.
I don't condone that either.
Let's
put that on the record.
Should we come to a consensus? But like, you know, I can see why he's mad at her, because they have no money. They've just raised the rent. She's spending all their money. And on top of which, he seems really concerned that she's abusing the child. And she is. She's abusing the child.
She does say that she hasn't taken any of his money.
No, but
she's hustling and getting her own money.
Yeah, but that's not good either.
For sure, because that could still be money that is put into the pot for.
Yeah, there's all these hints about how what she's doing is damaging her child. Like the first time she meets that faux connection guy, the daughter's at the lake and she's disappeared and she's all dirty. And he says they're cute or messy, right? And the mom's just obsessively combing her hair. And like then they get home and she's obsessively cleaning her and combing her hair and telling her she has to look a certain way. And it's like she's five. She doesn't know what she looks like. She shouldn't be made to care what she looks like, you know. And like at another point after the photo shoot or at the photo shoot, I think maybe even the photographer, somebody says if they're tired, you can't drive them so hard all the time. She's just pushing too hard. And then there's several hints that she's starving the child, which is really creepy, that like she's not feeding her.
She had some coffee and a cookie.
Yeah.
The child did.
Yeah, like there were at least three times in the movie
the husband's like,
it's hinted at that she's not feeding the kid. And it's like a part, you know,
it's for
I feel
her
like
career.
I feel like it's a part of the training. Yeah. And it's just, and the little girl slowly but surely throughout it just starts crying more and more and having these like little breakdowns. And it's like the stress is painful.
The scene that really hit me the hardest was, I wasn't sure if they were going to do it as a 5-year-old child actor in the late 40s, but it's her getting put to bed the first time and the husband saying goodnight to her and kissing her and walking out and turning off the light. And then it slowly moves in on her and she's like looking up and over, and then she starts to cry. Like, it's like, yeah, no, she's totally breaking down.
And then I was like, this is not the first time she's going to cry. She's going to start crying. And she's sure enough, like she cries at the photo shoot. She cries obviously in the footage. Like she can't handle it. She cries at the ballet studio.
Okay, so you're talking about the ending. So they get to the point where all of the like executives or whatever they are like laughing at her because, you know, she's crying and like, oh, what a stupid, like, what do they keep calling her? Like a, they don't call her a
like
midget.
A monkey or something.
Yeah, something really weird. Like, anyways, whatever it is, it's bad. But it ends with the mom like realizing, oh, wow, I love her so much. This is fucked up. And then I remember the scene at the end where like the parents are like embracing. Was there something in between there that I'm forgetting?
So she goes to the screening. They're all making fun of her, like you said. And it's right after she has that conversation with the girl in the editing room who says, she goes, I remember you. And she goes, weren't you an actress? And she goes, yeah, why don't you act anymore? And she goes, oh, I was like a blip. I was a I was just a moment.
I acted in what they needed me to act.
Yeah,
in.
Now she just says behind the scenes.
I thought
stuff.
I could do more.
Right.
And then, like, it just never happened.
In that moment, what Magnani's goal is to get to be in the screening room. So she is manipulating that woman. And so it's later, it's kind of hard to determine if when she reacts to what the woman says and she goes, oh, that's so sad. I really hope that's not my daughter. And then she does one of the weirdest things, actually the weirdest thing in the whole movie, the way she puts her hands on her daughter's face. She's like mooshing her mouth around while she's making eye contact with another person.
She's legit squeezing her face
and
to where she's
like
doing
smooshing this child's
fish
face
mouth, like,
is very, very strange. And the girl's just like a doll in her lap. And then you know, she's like, I hope that's not my daughter. And I've worked so hard. And then she gets what she wants. Oh, you can be in the screening room. Now I'm fine. So you're like, did she really feel emotional about the fact that maybe all of this that she's doing to her daughter could be for nothing? Or was she just trying to get in the screening room? Regardless, I think that's left up to question on purpose. After she feels the rejection of the recording studio, she goes and takes her daughter out to like a bus stop bench somewhere and just holds her and cries.
And that's why I'm so put up on how we're supposed to interpret the ending. Because,
well, if she did really, her reaction to that woman
exactly,
was earnest,
yeah.
Then her reaction was,
because it does,
this could
it,
all be for
it
nothing.
It does have a clear shot of her inferring the gravity of the editor's situation to where.
Right. But
is she
upset at rejection, or is she upset protective of her daughter?
Well, yeah. Even if some things go right, there's no way to fully
guarantee
that
it's gonna work out
or
for
assume
her. Yeah.
You can be in a movie or two movies, even as an adult,
yeah.
As an attractive, capable adult woman, and then still have things fall apart. So is this really worth all the time and effort and the strain that I'm putting on my family to follow through on this? Yeah, because then after that, she goes and cries on a park bench and then gets back to their house.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Did anyone else, or is this just me? Because to me, it was a really obvious possibility. When she walks in and the producers are there, whoever, they're trying to get her, they're waiting with the husband to sign, and she's carrying the daughter in. Did anyone else think she killed the kid? Because I thought she killed the kid.
I'd never.
No.
I thought she murdered the child and was bringing the dead body home, because they kept going, oh, we changed our minds, we want her. And she's just crying and going like, no,
I could see
no.
her doing
and
that.
I was like, did she murder the child?
That's pretty bleak.
I really thought she did. I thought
you're
she
in
had,
a really, you're in
no,
a
no, no,
very
listen,
specific frame of mind.
I thought she had murdered the child up till the very last shot where they show that, because even when she laid the daughter in bed and everything, I was like, that kid is dead. And then they did
Jesus
a close
Christ.
Up of her face, and there was a dribble of sweat down the sleeping kid's face, and I was like, whew, okay, she's not dead. But I thought the mom killed her.
I think that would have made it a Criterion movie. Like, if they killed the kid.
I thought that she had, because I thought it was like one of those, like, I'm just going to kill you so you don't have to live the way I did or something, which is not okay. But like, she seemed a little crazy. So I thought maybe.
But also
she was that crazy.
Another thing that I can't resolve fully is the director is the reason that she gets accepted. The entirety of them watching her screen test, he's engaged and is interested
he
in
says,
what she's
let
doing.
Me, yeah, I want to finish it.
They're all
it.
Laughing and having a good time and just going wild. And the entire time he's just like, you know, chill out, and you know, then returns to the screen test and is watching it.
Well, they had to make it believable that he wouldn't like be changing his mind, that he would be making up his mind, you know. It wasn't that he laughed about it and then later was like, never mind, I'll take that kid. Like, he hadn't made up his mind.
Well, yeah. I mean, because then after she leaves, he then says, you know, let's play that again. He is interested and is not dismissive at all.
Mm-hmm.
So with the movie portraying the driving force behind the film, inside the film, being sympathetic to their situation and her... Maria's acting, or, well, not necessarily acting, because she's bawling at the end of her screen test, reciting that poem. Him almost redeeming Magnani's efforts, then she rejects the movie fully. I don't know how to put that ending together when it also shows that the director was at least somewhat pure of heart in asking for her and not being
right. But again, I think it was that it goes back to her daughter. It's a, am I a good mother? What makes me a good mother? Does it make me a good mother to push my daughter so hard and take away her entire childhood and she's miserable and crying all the time to hopefully achieve a better future for her? Or does it make me a good mother to let her be a child and to stop pressuring her so much so that she just cries constantly? Is her happiness, which happiness are we talking about? Her happiness possibly in the future or her happiness now? And is one necessarily more important than the other?
Yeah, and she has, it shows her to have many small revelations of pertaining to that throughout the film.
But seeing the biggest her daughter cry on the screen and have all of these grown people laugh at her, I think that was what pushed her.
But that's what I was going to ask about, because in the editor's room, she has probably the biggest realization.
Yeah, and then focus right on her face. There's all that shadow.
Well, no, I'm talking about, that's the
oh, you mean with
the
woman.
The screening room.
Yeah, with the woman.
With the woman. But at that point, you're still thinking, regardless of that realization, is she going to follow through? And then she is put off ultimately because of them laughing at her.
Yeah, so it's probably the combination of the two things. Anyway, I still think she might have killed the kid.
But what?
I really did. I was like, that bitch just killed that baby.
No, it's a very wild theory, but a theory that I'm willing to entertain. I like that.
It really scared me. I don't believe I'm the only person who thought that. If anyone out there ever watches this movie before you heard this podcast and you thought too, maybe for a second she killed that kid, I want you to tell us.
I was I think isn't the very last shot is like of the girl sleeping, mm-hmm. right? Yes. I kept thinking that she was gonna like have her eyes open, or I don't know, like not
or
even
wake
in
up
a creepy
and
way,
crying
just to
again.
Be no, like smiling, being like everything's okay now.
I get ice cream with my dad, and no more ballet class.
I'm just happy for them.
A shot of espresso and a cookie to hold me over for an entire
day.
Oh
God, that was so sad.
The ticket to success. Yeah. I worked with this girl who I think she just had her baby, but she was making coffee, and she was talking to her doctor about how she'd been drinking coffee since she was 5, and she's like, I'm gonna cut out all these other things because she's pregnant now, but she's like, I can't cut out coffee, it's been like 26 years of it.
Whoa.
Which is terrifying.
Wow,
that's insane. That
I know kids whose parents give them coffee.
Well,
and they tell me
so interesting.
Is that any worse than giving, like, letting them drink soda at will,
or have like Adderall?
Oh Jesus!
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, at least
speed coffee.
Coffee is caffeine, but soda.
I just don't
is
see why you would ever give coffee to a kid. What's the point?
Like, let them figure it out on their own.
You're not energetic enough. Let's give you a little bit more. Like, no.
They're hoping for the crash.
Yeah, I guess. I would never want to give a child coffee. I don't want to see that.
Hey, you little bastards, I'm gonna make sure that you get these terrible caffeine headaches.
Yeah, well, and like,
and
kids,
ulcers.
Like, they already say your name every 5 seconds. Do you want to hear it every second and a half? Is that what you really want? Brittany.
It's also
Brittany.
Europe. You know, they got the little dainty coffee
no,
cups.
No, here I know people who give their kids coffee, right. though.
They have child coffee cups.
It's not
in
the 40s, and it's
sippy,
not Italy.
Little 40 era, like post-World War II little coffee sippy cups in Europe. Hell yeah.
What do post-World War II sippy cups look like?
I don't know.
Draw me
They're
a
made
picture.
Out of lead.
Yeah, no, that's the one requirement. They're made out of lead.
Something that will slowly
leach,
kill you.
Yeah, slowly leach into the coffee. Yeah, if any listeners out there have any wild theories about this movie or any movie, or have a large collection of post-war European
sippy cups for coffee for children,
email us at toomanymovieslowtalent@gmail.com.
That doesn't exist. Low talent.
Light talent.
It's light talent.
We're light on talent.
I think it should just be lighttalent@gmail.com. Does that exist? I think that should be
it. I like
it.
That's probably
Cleave Queen.
A light
can
bulb
I be,
company.
Can my new name just
my
be
cam
Cleave
girl
Queen?
Name?
Yeah.
Cleave Queen 69.
What is?
I'll be your pay pig.
Chatterbait.
I'll give you. I'll donate. I'll donate some coins. Ching ching ching.
What do we, do people pay bitcoins for dirty videos?
Oh yeah.
Thanks, Clumpy Boy.
I didn't That'll be know. Mine.
Yeah, that's how. That's like. I mean, because it's unfortunately illegal to consensually do that stuff. So I've been learning a lot about it from the show Euphoria.
Isn't Bitcoin a currency now?
It is, but I don't know. I want to learn more about it.
What?
Bitcoin.
Oh. I invested.
He was like, "What? Yeah. You mean the videos? Let me tell you what I know."
Whenever I
could
cam-
know a lot.
Honestly, I don't know much about those.
But do you know about the dark web?
But I.
What is the dark
I
web?
I was on. I do have my gaming laptop.
That's
right
where
here.
Bitcoin. That's where you buy like drugs with Bitcoin.
You
and
can hire people.
Oh,
like,
I was kind of getting
head
upset.
People.
What?
Yeah. The dark web's fucked up.
You could behead people.
Well, you can pay someone and then like watch the video of it.
You can hire
hits. Oh my
god,
this is so scary.
You can put hits on people, essentially.
No. You guys got me all excited. I thought it was going to be like Wicca.
I'm sure that's one facet of the dark web.
To be that guy, when Bitcoin was super hot a couple, like a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, I put money into it, and it was the most foolish decision I've ever made. my dad did and continues to make fun of me about it. You're right, old man.
Did you buy stuff on the Silk Road?
That actually, I think, got shut down.
Oh, yeah. If you said your name already, you don't have to answer
God
that question.
This is a little scary.
They're tracking me.
You guys are scaring me.
The dark
me.
Web is essentially specific interfaces almost. So Silk Road was its own thing, and it got shut down. Like, there's weird back
I'm just not enjoying
alleyways.
Anything I'm hearing.
Yeah.
You can only access, like, 10% of the internet, like... And then everything
on actual
else
browsers,
is,
yeah.
Yeah, everything else is
because it's
deep, dark
what? Web.
And Bitcoin is used, and those type of currencies are used because they're untraceable. They're
no, I get that part. I didn't think people were using them to behead other people.
I could feign some sort of intelligence about it, but
oh my god,
I still don't know what all that is. Even though I
do, you have any Bitcoin?
I do, but I need to get rid of it because I.
Sorry, this will be my last Bitcoin question.
Continue.
This is,
no, I'm enjoying this enormously.
No, I like, how do you get the money? So, like, okay, if you, let's say you're Cammon and you're, what do you call them? Pay pigs? Pay pig.
Yeah.
Your pay pig gives you a lot of money and you want to go buy something cool.
Wait, what's a pay pig?
But, like, Chatterbait and stuff like that, it's just straight
client.
Up. Oh.
It's straight.
Oh. But okay, so like, yeah, you want to go
donate,
buy yourself.
Daddy, donate.
I feel like an old lady. Like, this is all very shocking. All
right, so you want to go buy a corset with your
It did take us an
Bitcoin.
Hour to set up.
Hold on. I want to hear about this corset.
Yeah, how do you buy it when you get the Bitcoin?
Yeah, so you've got your Bitcoin.
In that TV show I've been watching, they go to a little boy in a liquor store and he cashes out your Bitcoin. His name is Ashtray.
Whoa.
And I
oh my god,
highly recommend it. Euphoria.
So with the explosion of Bitcoin a couple years ago, there were legit like phone apps and stuff that came about. Well, they had been around, but they got more popular, so they probably invested more money into the ease of use.
Mm-hmm.
You can some of the apps you can just connect credit cards and bank accounts to. And it sounds shady, but there's hella verification processes to make sure you are who you are. And I would say that the apps are fairly reputable. You then use your actual cash money, but they're like offers because you send out these requests to then get Bitcoin and the other types of internet currency. People mine for the currency, and it's essentially the mining is creating chains of information, and it creates a blockchain.
I think just the hardest part for me to wrap my mind around is that if there's not a real bank involved, where is the accountability?
But the thing with there is no accountability.
Well,
that's
horrible.
And
that's kind of the idea.
It's contributing to global warming, right?
Yeah. So the mining, the creation of this information is what rewards. So when you mine, or when people mine, they're using their computers and whatever, and it takes a lot of energy to do this, to continually do it at a rapid and constant pace. And you get rewarded with the currency when you mine a block, essentially. So all of this is...
This does not sound real.
It's very weird and very...
It's
very intricate and... Very convoluted, and there's a lot of stuff.
DOMs are destroying the world.
Doms are giving me life. I'll say that. This is a huge tangent, but I like it. And I only sort of know what I'm talking about. So.
No, I know you barely know what you're talking about.
That's fair.
I'm listening
to you. I
thought
that you said Doms were fixing your... Wait, what did you say?
They're giving me life.
They're giving you life.
No,
Doms are giving him life.
That is truthful. That's the
only... Didn't know.
That's the only...
That's new.
That's the only truthful statement I've made all night.
Oh, wow.
But other than that...
Anna would make a good one.
Anna Magnani would make a good Dom.
Oh my God.
That'd be a good Dom-like username.
Yeah.
For internet doming.
Anna Domnani.
She's thick as hell.
What?
She's thick.
What are you talking about?
She's got...
Is she a cleave queen?
Freaking... Yeah! Freaking hourglass.
You know what I really like is I like her little gap between... It's not
one of the side teeth.
It's one of the side teeth.
Yeah.
And every now and then she'll laugh, usually in a really creepy way, but she'll laugh. And then it's really cute, actually.
I like her
it.
Laugh. Yeah. Oh, I'd let her dominate me for sure. Put on some latex boots.
I'd let her dominate me too, actually.
So there was a fact, before I forget to throw this in, it said perhaps her strangest quirk was her love for defleeing street kittens with her thumbnails.
That's disgusting.
Oh, defleeing. Whoa. Yeah.
I mean, because that's a losing battle, you know?
You're never going to make headway in that, but it also does... give an idea of the type of person that she was just on the streets.
Yeah, and apparently after a while she was just living on like coffee and cigarettes, and then I think it might have coincided with getting a divorce from
that first
Rossellini,
dude,
Rossellini,
who I think left her for Ingrid Bergman.
Damn.
Yeah, which I didn't know was Isabella's mom.
Isabella
Rossellini.
I am sure I've heard that name before.
Which one?
Isabella Rossellini. What is she?
Oh, you would know her if you saw her.
She's in, isn't she in a bunch of David Lynch movies?
Oh, no, that's right.
Yeah,
she's,
you would know her.
No,
if
okay,
you saw her.
No, she's in Blue Velvet. She's kind of a Dom in Blue Velvet.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah. Okay,
Doms.
That's right. It all comes together.
Can you tell my flea story really
quick? No, but yes.
Okay, so my cat is an indoor cat, and I used to have another cat that was indoor outdoor, and so I had to buy flea meds for both of them because one was coming in and always bringing fleas in. But my other cat probably died. He disappeared like 6 months ago. Mm. And thank you. And so now my cat Lily, who's only indoor, she hasn't had fleas because nobody's bringing fleas to her. And the other day I was outside and this very, very, very friendly stray cat was like, you know, one of those cats that beelines for you and it's like, meow, meow, and like rubbing against your leg like they've never been held in their life. And it was rubbing and I was in my pajama pants. And it was rubbing against me, and I was petting him, and I was like, you're super cute. I even took a video of him. And then I started walking back to my house, and I went, fuck, I bet that cat had fleas. And my pants were, like, light pink, and I looked down at my pant leg, and it was just covered in little hoppy black dots.
No.
And I was like, fuck, so what do? I can't walk in my house with this on, but I can't – what do? So it's the middle of the day, and I just – pants outside and I was like praying nobody was looking out their window and threw my pants into the alley and then like ran in my house in my underwear.
Definitely something that would happen in
I wasn't wearing underwear. That was the worst part. So it was just full vag and butt and ran into the house. But I would rather
That's
do
reasonable.
That than bring fleas into my fucking house again.
That is definitely something that would probably happen in a near realistic Italian film from the 40s or 50s.
Yeah. We can just shoot that movie. I mean, we can just make that movie now.
Speaking of animals, one thing I did have in my notes is there's that dog in the first,
the
found one. And then there's like a random, like, I don't know what it is, German Shepherd-y looking dog in Bellissima. That's, anyways, both of them, like, I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of dogs that are like purebreds and then like what they look like 70 years ago and what they look like now.
Uh-huh.
But they all look very much like the dogs before they were like overbred, like they have different, I don't know, I'm
features.
Kind of like
they're
a dog
almost like
nerd,
the dinosaurs of dogs.
Yeah, they're just like their faces are formed differently.
I totally see what you're
it's
saying.
It's super weird. I was just like, why does this dog look so strange? It's like, no, because like,
it's not like super
his
inbred
mom's
yet.
Sisters, brothers, son, you know, all together as one.
Speaking of the dog, Micha, are you familiar with the band Integrity?
No,
the heavy hardcore metallic band from the 90s?
No
okay.
Do they have an Anna Magnani song?
No
Dominani?
No, but they do have a song I think that is related.
Misha!
I just thought that was appropriate for
What the fuck was that?
The dog's name was Misha. M-I-C-C-I-A, Misha. She kept saying the dog's name, and that just got me singing that song over and over. That's the very beginning of the song.
That was very sad that she was like, you have to come take the dog.
Misha! Yeah. Listen to Humanity is the Devil. It's the only good Integrity record. What? Did I have any specific notes before I do what I
already mentioned most of my notes. I also just want to share with you that I wrote about the eggs. There. Eggs. Eggs seemed exhausting.
Yeah, exhausting's in my list too.
Yeah. And
wait, what does that say about the photographer?
I assume the man that suggested the photographer also sent the teacher to his house.
Oh yeah, and that's weird. She was just like, wait, why are you here? Get back here.
Yeah, why
and then
was
just
she
let her
there?
Go off.
And then there was never any telling us how that woman showed up or anything. And I think that guy probably sent her.
She was like, I have to let her go. I'm very angry about this. Like, I'm not going to go after her.
Thanks for all the eggs.
Yeah.
And eating her.
So when she takes Maria out to the garden and is giving her
the strawberry picking
quote unquote lesson. Mm-hmm. I liked the setup of having the recital or the rehearsal on the stage in the background, kind of mirroring the essential sort of lesson that is happening with the
thing that happens in that first lesson. Again, I think mimics sort of all the pressure she's putting the daughter under, where she goes, recite her the poem so she'll leave. And the teacher goes, she doesn't even like doing that. We're going to have her do this picking strawberries activity because she likes strawberries. Mm-hmm. And she wants to do it. Like, stop making her do things she doesn't want to do. I don't know. That old kooky egg-sucking teacher lady was a little bit weird. It also looked like she was stealing from her at first. Yeah. Like, she wasn't just taking eggs. She also put a bunch of shit in her purse from the cupboard. So, I mean, I'm not sure about that lady, but she wasn't wrong about that. Like, stop making her recite this poem if she doesn't like it. There's other ways for her to learn this.
Just want to say shout out to moms out there.
And doms.
And
moms. And doms.
Moms and doms.
Giving you life.
They all give me life. My mother. I wouldn't be here without my mother, and I wouldn't be living without all my doms. So just want to say thank you.
The Bitcoin.
You're welcome for all the Bitcoin, and thank you for penetrating me in so many ways.
Oh, God.
Have either of you watched any Godard movies?
Not really.
Yeah, but not for a really long time. Yeah, it's been a super long time.
So
I keep seeing them now that I got that all access.
All access criteria.
Oh, wasn't that the best? You know what I did today? Right after I finished watching L'Amore, I watched Herzog's Nosferatu because you gave me that fucking Criterion connection. I was like, oh my God, if you haven't seen it, Klaus Kinski dressed up as Dracula is the funniest thing ever. I don't know how a person blinks that little, but it is amazing. And he wears like teeny condoms all over his fingers. He just looks incredible.
Is that in praise of the movie?
So I love Kinski and Herzog, but it also is just, you're laughing the whole time you're watching it because Kinski is so creepy. Like, he's such a fucking creep the whole time.
I watched that last year, and it's probably in my top 10 favorite movies.
But you have to have laughed.
I don't know if I've seen it.
At least, like, at the point where, okay.
I'm excited that you watched it.
Can I say this? You didn't laugh.
I'd rather talk about that.
When he's sitting there, and he's sitting there eating for the first time.
It's so, oh, I love that movie.
And then, like, the creepy Dracula standing over him with his condom fingers not smiling and not blinking, and he's got his crazy teeth. And then, like, the cuckoo clock
It's so
goes
scary.
Off.
Klaus Kinski is no, so no. scary.
Girl, the cuckoo clock goes off. The cuckoo clock has a skeleton head on top of it that cracks open, and a little skeleton comes out
so
of it
cool.
and cuckoos. And then the inside of the clock opens, and another little skeleton comes Ooh. Out and runs around. Three little skeletons in one cuckoo clock.
The coolest
clock.
Goddamn thing
Who
I've ever seen.
Who made that clock?
Herzog probably built it with his bare hands.
With condoms on?
Yes.
On the fingers.
Him and Kinski argued for hours
over the clock.
Over
there
building that clock
together.
There
should be four skeletons. No, three. We'll never be friends again. Just kidding. I love you.
If you get this take, I will eat your condom fingers. I will boil them and eat them.
And then when the guy cuts himself and he's like, he goes like this. He goes, let me take care of that.
New movies. Watch now that
you have to
wait,
watch.
So
I
will
watch
it's
it.
On
yeah.
It's on the Criterion.
You will laugh your ass off. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a ton of his movies on there
because
yeah.
they're licensed in a way that they actually can't put those movies out physically.
Oh, right. Interesting.
But it's cool that they're on. Oh, well, I guess that's how probably how I watched Nosferatu. I probably watched it last year on Filmstruck.
I screamed like the whole time at that movie. I was like, "Leave!"
It's probably the
get out of
the,
there.
The rats. It's probably the grossest movie.
How does he do that?
Legit makes you itch. It's. I would highly recommend it. Klaus is so good.
Klaus is so good. He looks perfect.
The main girl
perfect.
Is great, and yeah, I don't want to.
It's pretty good.
Herzog is a master. Have you seen some of his, either of his other ones, Aguirre and
No, I've just seen his documentaries.
His best movie is Fitzcarraldo.
I
like Aguirre.
I watched Fitzcarraldo and Aguirre last year as well.
I love Fitzcarraldo.
And for Aguirre being praised as potentially one of like the top whatever movies of all time, I wasn't so hot on that one. But Fitzcarraldo's
amazing.
Is great. Yes.
Have you read the book about it?
No, but I know that he
published his journals while he was making it.
I
have it somewhere.
Yeah,
you can take it. It's thrilling to read because he talks about all the fits that Kinski has on set, and it's really amazing.
A man's eyes are truly insane.
Yeah.
He could also dominate me. Rest in peace, Klaus.
I wouldn't let him dominate me. He's too scary.
We're close. Another good tangent that I appreciate that we went on. But Godard, I've spent way too much money on getting actual, like,
physical.
Original Criterion releases. And a handful of them were Godard. And so I had a little Godard marathon the other night. Do any of his movies that you might have seen stand out?
I saw Breathless in theaters.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that a really long time ago.
Like 8 years ago, and I remember liking it, but I don't remember much else. And then I saw one at the Grand Illusion, and it was like this couple fighting.
Contempt?
Maybe. It might have the word woman in the title.
Oh, yeah, there's one of
Anyways,
those.
It was kind of boring, but I haven't given up. I would like to see other movies by him. Or Breathless wasn't boring, but the other one was.
I didn't see Breathless. That was his first one and like his most well-renowned and popular one. I watched Contempt, which I liked and thought was okay. I watched Band of Outsiders, which I didn't know some of the aspects going in, but I guess that has a couple of really well-known scenes that people praise.
Like the dancing?
Yes.
Yeah, I did see that. I don't know.
I even with this, some of the more kitschy scenes that I guess kind of support the movie, I didn't think it was very good. I didn't really like that one. I loved Alphaville. And the reason I think I probably just brought any of this up, Brittany, is I think you would love Alphaville. It is very, for a mid-50s sci-fi but not sci-fi movie, it feels like a low-budget Brazil, sort of. And Brazil's like one of your favorite movies
Brazil
ever.
Brazil is my favorite movie ever.
Yeah, I didn't want to be presumptuous and say
there's
that
there's a poster of it right outside
the
store.
It's cool.
It's my favorite
I don't know
movie.
If I've actually seen that movie, but I love the
it's
poster.
It's the best movie ever.
I think you would like Alphaville a lot because it's a noir, like a somewhat satirical noir, but also a sci-fi noir.
Well, and that's combining two of my favorite genres, so.
The basic description would be that it uses Paris as a sci-fi backdrop and is extremely dialogue heavy, but doesn't have any actual sci-fi props or effects. It just talks about how they're in the future and they're essentially describing things as being futuristic.
Are you sure you weren't watching Dick Tracy?
I think it takes, they might have even mentioned Dick Tracy once in the movie. It's really good. It was I liked it. It's one of my favorite movies that I watched recently. I liked it a lot.
No, I'll buy it. I think you know what my taste is.
It might probably, it's a Criterion release, so it might be on the channel. Mm-hmm. Alphaville. Yeah, I would highly recommend that to either of you. That was the one I liked the most. I also watched Do the Right Thing.
That's funny that you should mention that because that's next on my list.
Oh, there you go. Have you seen it before?
No. And I literally, 2 days ago, I was like, that's the next movie I'm going to choice watch.
I get why so many people love that movie.
Don't say anything, please.
No.
I'm really excited.
Have you seen Do the Right Thing?
No, I should though.
I would recommend it for sure because it is stylistically on point, and he has a style and a tone that is all his own. But I almost think that he is the drawback of that movie as an actor, kind of. And there are some aspects.
Wait, who is?
Spike Lee.
Oh, Spike Lee.
Yeah, he's one of the main characters.
Okay.
Some of the thematic elements at the end didn't sit with me well because they kind of conflicted, but that's as far as I'll go into that, yeah.
I was just pulling up my list of what I watched recently.
So, something else that we talked about that when I went onto my Criterion account to, I think, watch Bellissima. No, I rented that to watch.
Oh, is it going to show? It's going to show us all what everybody's watching. Oh, I love it.
Not only what has been watched.
You guys will see Nosferatu.
Not only what has been watched, but there were four movies that were paused like an hour into all of them. I was like, damn, Ellen's going for it. I love this.
But now I can't even remember anything other than Claire's Camera, which I did finish. And I don't know how I feel about that. We went to see, I should look up the director's name. I don't know, this Korean guy. We went to see one of his movies at Northwest Film Forum, and it was very slow, and I fell asleep. And
I didn't even notice her.
They were
asleep.
Having like a party outside of the lobby of the theater, and
like a raffle or something.
Yeah, like very very quiet Korean movie. Anyways, I tried to watch another one of his movies, Claire's Camera, and I can't tell if there's like a weird Korean acting style, and they just look like they're bad actors. But it was cute.
Is that who
pairs
in it? Isabel?
Yeah. There's like girls at a film festival and gets fired and doesn't know why, and then meets this like quirky French lady. And then what else did I watch? I watched Cabin Fever for the first time. I was pretty into it, and I was really bummed out it was Eli Roth. When I found that out, I was like, God damn it. Yeah. But writer strong.
I actually haven't seen that.
It's good.
But it's very well regarded. And so you're saying it makes sense that it is actually good, the praise that it got.
It's got the same kind of Quentin Tarantino thing where he likes to, well, and making like race jokes that are supposed to be like, it's funny because he doesn't actually hate black people, but you still like don't need to say the N-word as a joke, yeah, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. What else did I watch? I watched Gloria Bell. I really like that.
Gloria Bell is very, very good. That's probably one of the few A24 movies, and I talked about this on a prior episode. Oh, I mean, you're an A24 head. A24.
Don't out me.
Hashtag A24 gang. Oh, I'll cut this.
I've never been in so many gangs. I feel
gang.
Scary.
Gang. Dom gang. Hashtag Dom gang.
Dom gang.
I've kind of been disappointed with meaning that I care. But I don't think many of the A24 movies this year have been good, but I really like Gloria Bell.
Yeah, I want to see the original.
It's the same director.
Yeah, I went, I did karaoke. I was actually taking the bus home from hanging out with my friend, and then I had to use the bathroom, so I went into Busch Gardens. And I walk in, and I sit down next to this girl, and then she goes up and does the Gloria song.
Yes.
And I was like, you have to watch this movie. Gloria. It's great.
That's such a good song, too, and it's such a good cinematic song that works so well in the movie.
I guess in the original, they use, like, the Italian version, which is by some guy. I don't know. So, some dude singing about Gloria. That's fine. And The Commuter. That's the other one. I couldn't finish The Commuter.
Nielsen?
Yeah. Yeah, I had Florence Pugh, so I was like, gotta watch it.
Oh, that's
and then
right. You sent me punk Florence Pugh.
Yeah, and then I think there's, like, a guitar fight scene, because he, like, finds this money. And I think there's a bunch of movies where he's getting blackmailed by like various
every
people.
Every single movie.
Yeah. And then there's a scene where like this dude like hits him with a guitar, I think. And she was there with her boyfriend. She's got all these fake IDs. And she's like, my boyfriend made me sell them. Anyways, that was all I got out of that movie. But
hey, Florence Pugh gang. Hashtag Florence Pugh gang. Don't you dare. You liked Midsommar.
Midsommar.
Did you see Midsommar?
You know I didn't. You know that I can't tolerate that.
Wait, you didn't see or you didn't like it?
I can't. Joker is the scariest movie.
Oh, yeah.
I've
no,
watched.
Don't. My boyfriend, we went to go see Midsommar, and right as the credits started, like, that said, like, you know, the title credits, he was like, I can't handle this. And he was like, tears streaming down his face.
I watched,
and I decided to stay because I was like, I paid for this. Like, I'm
I watched
stay.
The Witch and It, and Joey sat next to me. This was not in a movie theater. This was at Danny's house.
Never walk out, gang.
And I held a pillow over my face for 3/4 of that 4 hours, and then whenever I couldn't take it, I would lean into Joey and go,
What movie?
We watched It and The Witch.
I still haven't seen The Witch. I hear it's very good.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
I didn't like it at all.
That's reasonable. I ended up seeing Midsommar 4 times unintentionally, but one was the director's cut, and I was glad I saw that.
Yeah, we saw the director's
cut. People just kept asking if I wanted to go, and I was like, well, why not?
I get too
surprised. I was very surprised that you said yes, but also very appreciative because I enjoy seeing movies with you.
You also were like the fourth person who asked me to go, so I love that that's being like Keith has a rule. He's like, you can't talk about this movie anymore, and it's been long enough that I don't talk about it,
right.
But he's just like, I never want to hear about it ever again.
When I drop you off, I'll make sure to mention it to him, since he was being so rude to me. Just kidding.
He asked if he should change out of his sweatpants, and I was like, you've met him before.
I'm a sweat short guy.
Did I tell you about that?
He keeps dissing me.
I don't know Aaron's last name, but he was in Shook Ones.
Aaron O'Neill.
Yeah, and somehow you came up, but he was like, oh yeah, sweat shorts. I love that guy. He's like, that's what my wife and I call him.
Yes.
And then it was sweat really shorts. Weird because he texted me about something while like I'm just somehow I don't even know how it came up.
But yeah. Recently I saw Alex in real shorts.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Was it shocking?
And he looked great. He looked
really
good.
What were the shorts
good.
Made out of?
They were like normal navy.
Latex. I was getting back from my appointment.
They were like, just regular navy shorts that a person would wear maybe on vacation or.
I've been trying to.
They were very nice.
It's hard for
pleated?
Me to admit that I've been trying to dress.
The style
better.
That could have been but wasn't, thankfully.
I found a really nice green pullover at Goodwill. I found those shorts at Goodwill. I was going to say I found those shorts at Pullover. And, just trying to dress a little better. I'm almost 30. It's like it's an awakening. I can't just wear all latex and gimp masks anymore, I got to move beyond.
You do you. Okay, honey.
That sounds like an expensive wardrobe to just
it's,
be wearing.
It's a hobby
masks and latex.
That
sounds
has,
hot too. Like physical
baby
like,
powder.
It's a hobby that has brought me to the brink of bankruptcy on more than one occasion. It's just the result of
Are we really talking about this?
Well, I'd like to get
the result of your like.
I like to get beat up.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the result of you wearing nicer clothes.
Oh no, that was a roundabout.
No, he had already gone.
Oh, beat up. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry. Then I was thinking about the Joker.
I'm a sadomasochist. Yeah. We live in a society. We went on like a 30-second tangent.
30-minute.
Did I? Oh, I said second. Regardless.
The only tangent.
Don't
was
say irregardless. I will punch you with this microphone.
Irregardless. Let's unpack that.
Ugh!
Okay, sit down, please. I'm sorry.
I'm the jargon Nazi.
You have fleas on you.
I don't. I threw my pants away.
Oh, wait, but she will hand pick the fleas out of you.
I won't.
It's kinky.
Anna.
Anna will.
R.I.P. She was only like 60 when she died or something.
She died of cancer. Yeah. We're going to get into it more. If anything, we were shown that putting your kid through weeks and weeks of hell is
not worth it.
Is worth it if you then realize your mistake and redeem yourself, even though you might have killed your child. So, next episode.
I'm gonna laugh at that.
Moms
you
and
might
doms.
Have killed your child.
Moms and, hashtag moms and doms.
That's bad.
So next episode. Is going to be The Golden Coach and The Rose Tattoo, which is the
Academy
movie.
Academy Award winning.
She won the Academy Award.
Written by Tennessee Williams.
Best Actress.
Who's a...
I have a copy of The Rose Tattoo somewhere.
Ooh.
I think it's right here.
Watch those movies or don't. For all six of our listeners out there, I love you. Watch more movies.